would have listened to that one online. Anyway, yes. Allah SWT in Quran Kareem, in this verse that we recited to you, Surah At-Tawbah, verse 102, has mentioned a particular type of person. And we had mentioned earlier to the men in earlier bayan that our Shaykh Mawlana Qamar Zaman Sahib, he said to us in Ramadan a very interesting thing, that for all the previous anbiya, they were given two types of people in their ummah. One was a test for them, and one was a joy for them. The test for them that they were given or afflicted with munafiqeen mu'mineen, and the joy for them was that they were given salihin mu'mineen. So the example of the first you can think are the followers of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, and to understand that you simply need to read Surah Al-Baqarah. An example of the second, the true companion, is the example of Nabi Isa alayhi salam and his Hawariyun. They were like the Sahaba of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. But basically it was a binary thing, two types of followers. But when the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's another type of follower, another type of believer, which is Mudhnibin Mu'mineen, the sinning believers. Sinning believers. So yes, they were the Munafiqun in Madinah Munawwara, and yes, they were Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And yes, today there are people who are, you know, very far from deen, and they may just have a drop of iman on their heart, but they don't practice Islam, or they don't pray salah, they don't even give charity, they don't guard their modesty. And then there are obviously, yes, some very few handful of five people left in this world, but the very large mass of the ummah falls in this third category, which are the sinning believers. So who are the sinning believers? So Allah SWT has mentioned in Quran al-Kareem that there are some people. And what do they do? So I'll translate this ayah, the middle part first. خَلَطُوا أَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. That they mix, their khalt malt, as we say, makhlut. They're mixed. They're a mixture of good deeds, salih, pure virtuous deeds, and of evil deeds of sin. But then now if you go back to the start of the ayah, what is the special attribute of theirs? اِعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. They accept their sin. They do what is called اِعْتِرَاف, which means to accept your sin, to acknowledge your sin, not to deny your sin, not to be in self-denial about your sin, to accept it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called اِعْتِرَاف. So they accept their sins while having done some good deeds, but yet having done other deeds which were evil and sinful. So then what does Allah SWT say about such people? أَسَلَّهُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. That it is very near, very hopeful, surely soon, that Allah SWT will relent towards them and accept their tawbah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah SWT is all-forgiving, all-merciful. All-forgiving, all-merciful. Ghafoor, He is all forgiving, He will forgive their sins and bad deeds. Rahim, He is merciful, He will accept their good deeds anyway. Allahu Akbar Kabira. What does that mean? You see, in this world you will see that there are people that if they are good to you for 10 years, but then one day they do something really bad, so what do? That one day they did something really bad, it wipes away all their good deeds as far as you're concerned. 10 years they were loyal to you, one day they very severely betray you, it wipes away that 10 years of loyalty. So that's how we are. And what does it mean? That because of the bad deed, we do not accept their good deeds anymore. So Allah SWT is different. He's Rahim. What does it mean? That despite our bad deeds, He accepts our good deeds anyway. Allahu Akbar Kabira. That's one of the meaning of Allah SWT being a Rahim. And on top of that, if we have these two attributes, one is called itraf, accepting sin, second is tawbah, truly asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness and repenting and intending never to do it again, then Allah Ta'ala is ghafoor, He will forgive us for that sin. In fact, Allah SWT has mentioned in the Quran the exact opposite of the way me and you are. We let a person's one mistake wipe away all the good that was in them. Allah Ta'ala lets one good deed wipe away all the bad in us. Allah SWT says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, that indeed the good deeds, they take the bad deeds away. They take away the bad deeds. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So this is an ayah that I think is relevant to us. This is an ayah about us. We did some good deeds, we had past Ramadan, we have some bad deeds before Ramadan, after Ramadan, and as long as we accept and acknowledge them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, has mentioned in Quran al-Kareem, لَكَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابٌ فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ, that indeed we in our might and majesty have sent down to you, have revealed to you a sacred book, kitab, in Quran al-Kareem, the scripture, and in that, فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ, in that there is a mention of you. That's one meaning of that. In that there is a mention of you. Other meaning, فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ, in that book there is a nasiha for you. Is your nasiha, is the counsel and advice that would benefit you. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, do you not then have sense to heed that advice that is specifically, specially for you? Allahu Akbar Kabira. So that means that definitely in Quran you should be able to find that there will be mention of any and every situation and circumstance that we are in, and there will be guidance for us about every such circumstance. So somebody wanted to know, okay, where's the guidance for me? I know the verses about Salihin and Salihat, I know the verses that talk about Muttaqeen, but I'm a mixed bag. I have some good deeds and I have some bad deeds. So this ayah that I recited to you at the start, this is the ayah that has guidance for us, nasiha for us, advice for us, counsel for us. And in this ayah there is mention of our situation, that we have good deeds and bad deeds, but we have to acknowledge and accept our sins, and we must make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, really this was what Ramadan was about. Most people understand that, and in the month of Ramadan, they make a lot of tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they make a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they try to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness. Now, if you look in Quran al-Kareem, and you keep going in this passage, so next ayah is in Surah 9, next ayah will be verse 103. So Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam another thing. So they should do itraf, they should make tawbah, and خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, that you should take from their wealth some sadaqah, some voluntary charity. Some ulama, mufassirun, have translated this as the obligatory zakat. Some view it was referring to optional charity. And some said it's am. Am means that sadaqah here means both. I will explain how that is. Let me just finish the passage. تُطَحِّرُهُمْ, and what will happen, that by the process of accepting that wealth in behalf of deen, by people giving wealth and charity, it will purify them, وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا, and it will also cleanse them. It will purify them and cleanse them. So they give charity and they will be purified. They give charity, they will be cleansed. So first step, accept the sin. Second step, make tawbah. Third step, make sadaqah. Alright? Now this is why, and you know, alhamdulillah, and certainly in Indian Pakistani culture, this is a concept that is there. It's important for you to know that this concept is from Quran al-Kareem, that when you make a sin, you should give some charity. Right? And the reason and the niyyah to make charity, and you should remember these ayat, and read these ayat, and make niyyah and intention of these ayat, the Quran, when you give that charity, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be forgiving and merciful upon us. Alright? Okay. Now this initial recipients of this ayah were Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. So they would literally, physically give charity to the Prophet to for Baytul Mal and for use for Islamic purposes, and that became a tathir and tazkiyah, a process of purification and cleansing for them. Then the ulama mentioned that there's another reason why this helps us to become forgiven, that is as follows. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, حب الدنيا رأس كل خطيئة, that love for the dunya is the root cause, the reason behind all error, all evil, all mistakes. Alright? So what does it mean if we want to make sure that we don't repeat any error, sin, mistake, or we don't in the future fall into any type of new error, sin, or mistake, we need to reduce our love for this world. Now understand that any time that there is a false beloved of any kind, the only cure for that is to let go of that false love. So if somebody has this problem of that they love the dunya, they love wealth, they love money, they love pomp, they love fame, they love name, so that's let go of it. So how do you let go of money? That's called charity. So when you give this sadaqah charity, then that is the cure for love for dunya. And when you cure the love for dunya was the source of all sin, so then inshallah you will not fall into sin. But then remember, I took it in a more general sense, that any false love, you must give up that false love. You must discard that false love. You must throw away, so to speak. When it's charity, we will say give away the money. Here you must throw away that false love. As soon as you throw it away, تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا, that you will become purified and you will be cleansed. And so this is another important thing to do. So number one is accept our sins. Number two, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, throw away, get rid of, disconnect, discard anything that is putting any false feelings in our heart. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said one of the most beautiful things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran, Surah number 9, verse 103, وَسَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you and Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam salli, you should send salawat alayhim on the believers. Most people, they don't know. Allah Ta'ala said this in Quran. What we know is what inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi, that indeed Allah Ta'ala and all of His angels send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, that O you who believe, each and every one of you should send salawat on the Prophet wa sallimu taslima, and you should send greetings of peace upon him abundantly. In this part of Quran, Allah Ta'ala said what? Allah Ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you, وَسَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, that you should send salawat on them. You should send salawat on them. And when you do that, Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala continues in Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنًا لَهُمْ, because indeed when you're sending salutations on the believers, will become سَكَنًا لَهُمْ, will become a sukoon for them, will be a source of peace and tranquility for them. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine how happy Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in must have been when this verse was revealed? Can you imagine the type of sukoon that must have come in their hearts when they would accept their sin, make tawbah for sin, get Allah Ta'ala's maghfirah, get Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, they would make sadaqah, the Prophet would accept that sadaqah and disperse it for the sake of the deen, and then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send his salawat on them, and then they would feel such a sukoon in their heart that Allah Ta'ala chose to describe and make mention of that sukoon, إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ, that indeed your sending blessings on them is a source of tranquility for them. But Allah Ta'ala continues in the passage, وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ, and indeed Allah Ta'ala is all-hearing and all-knowing. So what does سَمِيعٌ mean? It means Allah Ta'ala is all-hearing. He will hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's salawat upon the believers. Adim, he knows what the believers did, but still, because the Prophet makes his dua for them and sends his salawat on them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send his forgiveness and mercy upon those believers. Allah Ta'ala continues in the next ayah, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ, that don't they know that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who accepts tawbah from His creatures, His servants and slaves. وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ, and Allah Ta'ala accepts, literally means take, but Allah Ta'ala accepts that charity, meaning what the charities that the believers give. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is a tawab, the one who relents towards the believers and accepts their tawbah. Ar-Rahim, the one who is merciful and accepts their good deeds. Allahu Akbar Kamila. So this is a beautiful passage of Quran al-Kareem. Now, this is what we were. We did some amal salih in Ramadan. So what's the sign for us? Now what we have to see is after Ramadan, that all that fasting, praying, reciting the Quran, etc., etc., did it change us? understand this in deen, the easiest thing to change, although no doubt for somebody in the beginning even this can be hard initially, but relatively speaking, the easiest thing to change is your outward form, your outer, your zahir, your outward appearance, the way you dress, the way you decorate your house, the way you eat, right? Your outward form. The second most difficult, and the next, progressively, the next difficult thing to change is your actions, your a'mal, your behavior. Third, the most difficult thing to change is your sifat, your attributes, your character, because if you really want to change your akhlaq, your character, that means you have to change who you are. So I'd say in simple English, it's easier to change what you do, it's harder to change who you are. In Ramadan, we change what we do, right? We change when we eat, we change what we do in terms of our worship, our ibadah, our timetable, our schedule. But now the test is after Ramadan, okay, we did all that, we changed what we do, we left sin, we didn't do sin, we changed what we do. Did that change who we are? That's what to look for. Law of Akbar Kabira. So one way to check that, if the a'mal as-salih, good deeds changed who we are, is did you get humility from that? Not a sense of attainment, achievement, accomplishment, success, triumph. No. Did you get humility? Are you more humble? This is the sign that a good deed is accepted. Our Mashaykh mentioned, this is the sign that a good deed is accepted, that that good deed creates more humility in that person. Allahu Akbar. That good deed creates more haya, modesty, chastity in that person. Means the good deed changes who they are. That's called sifat, attributes. The attributes and characteristics of the person changes. I'll give you an example. So the difference between behavior and character. So it starts out what? That you feel angry, you are angry, you're an angry person, that's your character, and you behave in an angry manner. Alright. Now as you come closer towards deen with the Al-Sfantah Sayyid Quran al-Kareem, وَقَادِمِينَ الْغَيْلِ. So they are the ones who swallow, literally drink, swallow, suppress, control their anger. So what happens? You're still angry on the inside. So it's what they say in English, boiling on the inside and smiling on the outside. Allahu Akbar. So character is still angry, but behavior, for the sake of deen, for the sake of Al-Sfantah, she doesn't behave angrily. Not behaving angrily. So she comes in and tells her husband, I'm so frustrated with the kids. He says, oh no, did you? He says, no, I didn't say anything to them. Alhamdulillah, I didn't take out my frustration on them. That's why I came in the room. I'm so frustrated. And husband like us, we run because like if you didn't take it out on the kids, you can take it out on us. Allahu Akbar. She's saying this. She's boiling on inside. And it didn't erupt on the children. And she's coming running to us and we see boiling, we run. SubhanAllah. Ajib. Like the volcano. A volcano on inside, but looking like nice, peaceful mountain on outside. So that's second step. This is what happens when you put one of the husbands in the room with me. Yeah, some of those things come out also. It's natural, whoever the audience is, we will speak. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Here I was telling you, it's relative, that itself, as you know, so it's very difficult to change one's behavior. But what's even more difficult is to change one's character. That they're no longer even an angry person. Allahu Akbar Kabira. That's the sign of Amal Saleh being Maqbool. That they change our character, they change who we are. Obviously, that's a work. We need to work on that after Ramadan. We need to actually take this huge, mashallah, only with the karam and fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this huge amal of fasting 30 days and praying so much taraweeh and reciting so much Quran and making so much suhoor and making so much iftar and making so many du'as and trying to be up at least parts of the night, of the odd night, searching for little taqadr. This huge set of amal, and now we have to ride on that and build on that to change who we are. And that's what happened to Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. They were real mu'mineen, true mu'mineen. It's not like Deen of Islam came and just changed what they did, right? That did happen, obviously, in their completely outward form, completely outward lifestyle, behavior, all of it changed. But Deen also was so deep in their heart, it changed who they are. Allahu Akbar. Second, is to know that amal salih, any amal salih is accepted, is that it increases you in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become more afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is counterintuitive. A person would think that no, the more I sin, I become more afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more good deeds I do, the less afraid I'll become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, indeed, the more good deeds you do, the more you become afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran al-Kareem, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That who are those who have the most fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The ones who have the most knowledge. They acquire knowledge, they practice that knowledge, they abide by that knowledge, they share that knowledge. There's a lot of great acts. They get more fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, now you look at Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. They were the most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Crying so much in dua, crying so much in salah, having so much fear when they were near the end of their lives. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest of all creation, the greatest of all prophets, the greatest of Allah ta'ala's lovers, he also had the greatest fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, if you took the fear that all of the awliyaullah in the entire history and future of the ummah had or have in their hearts, and put all of that combined on one side, and you take the fear of just Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu's heart, the fear he had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the other side, the fear of Nabi Kareem sallallahu for Allah ta'ala is weightier and greater than the other fear of all those people combined. But we don't really, we don't know that aspect. So when you read the sunnah du'as, you can see it. The Prophet is afraid of losing his iman, he makes du'a to Allah ta'ala. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shirki. Allah ta'ala, I seek refuge in you from shirk. Allah ta'ala, I seek refuge in you from an iman. I ask you to grant me an iman after which I never apostate. There's no irtidad, no apostasy after such an iman. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So Sahaba Ikram were like that. This is the second thing we have to check in us. Have this, our good deeds in Ramadan, made us more fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then what happens is, if the good deed has these two effects, more humble and more fearful, more haya, more shame, then a person does even more itiraf, which we told you in the start of the passage of Quran, they do even more. More they accept and acknowledge their sins. And that's their ikhlas, and that's their sincerity, and that's their humility, and that's their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? So good deeds should make us more humble and fearful, and bad deeds should simply be acknowledged and accepted and repented for. This is the recipe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given in our deen. Then, if you talk about forgiveness for others, so sometimes the question arises, that is there anybody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't forgive? Is there anybody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anybody Allah ta'ala won't forgive? So there's a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was narrated about Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And what was that? And it's the story of somebody from the earlier communities, that somebody came to them to seek their forgiveness, like they wronged them, right? And this person was still very upset with them. So what did they do? They said, Wallahi, la yaghfirullahu fulana. They swore that, I swear that Allah will never forgive this person. Right? Okay, one is to say, I won't forgive you. They swore that Allah will never forgive this person. Allahu Akbar. Now who is a human being to take a qasam and swear about Allah Ta'ala, who Allah is going to forgive and not forgive? That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sole domain. So then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued this and said that when that person said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded that, who is that person who dares make this claim on my behalf? No, indeed that I have forgiven that person, and you I lay to waste all of your good deeds. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Ajeeb. So we have to be very careful. It's not for us to make any claims on the behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not for us to say that, oh, somebody else is such a big sinner, even Allah will never forgive them. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And this is something that sometimes people say commonly, that no, that person is gone. That person can never be forgiven. No, what that person did is so awful, they will never be forgiven. We never say that. no matter, no doubt, sometimes human beings do extreme things, no doubt, but there's nothing as extreme forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing as extreme hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may guide that person. We have no way of knowing. You can never say that about any person, that they are so gone that they will never be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? So you should be very careful, very careful. And it's so strange because at the same time, we want that what Allah ta'ala should forgive us. We want that Allah ta'ala should forgive us for what? Our unforgivable sins. But the sins that we've done that are so... so wrong, right? So blatant that we should not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what do we want? We want Allah ta'ala to forgive our unforgivable sins. That's what we were doing in Ramadan, right? What does a person do on Laylatul Qadr? Yes, obviously we must seek Allah ta'ala to forgive for every sin, small sin, but really, why does a person wait for nights like that? Why does a person go on Hajj? Why does a person want to stand on Arafat? Because they say, I need Allah ta'ala to forgive me for my unforgivable sins. I need Allah ta'ala to pardon me for my unpardonable sins. So if we want, we already acknowledge, and we believe that with yaqeen, Allah ta'ala can forgive us for such unforgivable things. So what makes us think Allah ta'ala can't forgive others for the unforgivable things? So actually it means that there's nothing that's unforgivable. Allah knows best whom Allah will give tawfiq to seek His forgiveness. Allah knows best whom He wishes, and it's His exclusive domain and His might and His right, who He chooses to forgive. Alright? And I just repeat again, it's a deep hadith of Nabi Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what did that person say? Right? He was so angry with that other one. Right? You can also say, she was so angry with that other person, so she said, Wallahi la yaghfirullahu fulana. Allah Ta'ala will never forgive such a person. Swore by Allah, Allah will never forgive that other person. And Allah Ta'ala forgave them. First to show. No. And second, Allah Ta'ala laid to waste their good deeds. Al-Aman al-Hafiz. So you should be very careful. Very careful. Alright? And the way we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this that we mentioned up till now, this is our relationship. It's called dua. So we make dua for Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. We must present this to Allah Ta'ala that we confess our sin. That's also done through duas. There's even a dua of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ana muqtarifun bil dhunubi. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua like that. That, oh Allah, I accept and acknowledge my sins. And dua is a very beautiful type of ibadah because it's direct conversation between you and your Rabb. Direct between slave and master. Dua. Alright? Like for example, salawat. Okay, you're sending salawat on Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? It's ibadah, you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's involving some of the creation. But dua is direct between a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us to make dua for any and everything, to make dua for small things, major things, even if it comes in hadith, that the Prophet said, even if you have a broken shoelace, you should make dua to Allah Ta'ala to fix that shoelace. Now what does that mean? It's just beyond that. You need to learn and understand this. When it comes to Quran and Hadith, you need to learn, or rather, you need to learn from the ulama how they did this to extract the general principle. So what it means is that even if it's something so minor that you yourself have complete, apparently, you have complete ability to fix that. You know, if you have a broken shoelace, it's fine. You have the means. You can buy another shoelace or you tie it. You have the ability on your own to solve this problem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that even when there is a problem, that Allah ta'ala out of His karam and fazl, He gave you the means, the asbab, the ability to resolve it yourself, still make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the major teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we don't do. Basically, what do? We turn to dua as a last resort. We turn to dua when all else fails. It means we try all of the asbab, the means, processes, take steps, and then if it doesn't work and we say we're in an impossible situation, then we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was a mistake, this was against adab. We should have made dua to Allah ta'ala at the outset. In fact, we should make dua to Allah ta'ala even before. And we say in Urdu, asbab ikhtiyar karne se pehle, asbab ikhtiyar karna, asbab ikhtiyar karne ke dauran, asbab ikhtiyar karne ke baad, means that even before you adopt any means or take any steps, make dua, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You begin taking the means while taking dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. throughout you keep adopting that means, and you throughout you making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even after having completed adopting any means or process for whatever, you even then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. I'll give you this example. So somebody applies for a Hajj visa and they hear they might not get it, then they start making dua. No. You make dua even before you apply for the visa, you make dua the day you apply for the visa, you make dua the day you get the visa, etc. You're always making dua, whether it's something in your ability to resolve or not resolve. It's very important. And what would be the barakah of this, the thamra of this, if we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time we are able to ourselves do something about that matter, then Allah ta'ala will accept our du'as in those times when we are not able to do something about that matter. So we must make du'a all the time. Why? Because why is it also a beautiful reason that the Shaykh mentioned? Because Allah ta'ala wants us to show Him always that we need Him. Allah ta'ala wants us to feel always that He is our Rabb and we need Him. Even if He may have given us the strength, skill, intelligence that outwardly, apparently, we don't technically, apparently, need Him, but He wants us to realize the reality is that you need Him even in that. You need Him even to tie your shoelace. Forget even fix your broken shoelace. Even to tie a completely intact shoelace, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. That's how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that we should feel it and that we should demonstrate this need. And that's called dua. Demonstrate this feeling that we need our Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is called dua. Now if you look at Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifestyle from his sunnah, now you understand. Because Sayyidina sunnah duas for apparently minor things, eating, drinking, before sleeping, when sleeping, right? When you go to sleep, you need Allah ta'ala to wake up. You need Allah ta'ala to fall asleep. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wake up. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to eat. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to digest. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you leave the home. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you enter the home, etc., etc., etc. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart felt this need, he would make the sunnah du'as before and after all of these times. Allahu Akbar. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's du'as, right, you can think like it's a type of dhikr. It was the way he was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was the way he was remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It had a very powerful effect on his heart. Another thing about du'a. So one sahabi, he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but can anything change my taqdeer? Taqdeer, you know, means fate, destiny, outcome, etc. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes, two things can change your taqdeer. Amal and dua. So what you do, it could change your future. You do amal salih, you might end up with a better taqdeer. You do bad deeds, you might end up with a worse taqdeer. So amal. And so amal is in your ikhtiyar, meaning what you do, practice, actions are in your ability. And second, dua. Whatever du'as you make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have the power to change your taqdeer. And the real taqdeer is not what happens to you in this world. That okay, by making du'a I can change my outcome in this world. Real taqdeer is what will be your outcome on the Day of Judgment. Real taqdeer is that what are you destined for in Akhirah? What are you destined for in Akhirah? And one du'a has the power to change our entire Akhirah. One du'a could change the destiny of our entire Akhirah. Now let me explain. You know, there will be some people on the Day of Judgment that they will go to Jannah just due to one small good deed. And they will be so amazed and surprised on the Day of Judgment, they won't even remember. They'll be stunned that I went to Jannah to do this one deed. But when Allah Ta'ala chooses to accept something, maybe they did that deed with real, true, pure ikhlas, purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here when He chooses to accept something, He can accept it all the way. He can accept it all the way. And there will be some people in the Day of Judgment who go to Jahannam, Nar, Hellfire, just because of one sin. They might even be stunned on the Day of Judgment. But this one, they might even be stunned, or I even forgot I did this sin. Allahu Akbar. See? As an example, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل, that no one will ever be able to enter Jannah if they have even a mustard seed worth, means subatomic particle of pride in their heart. Now, subatomic particle, we might not even remember that. What would it be for us to have had a subatomic particle? We probably do that a lot of the time. We wouldn't even remember. And then we show up on the Day of Judgment and we can't go to Jannah. So what does it mean? There's only two places you can go on the Day of Judgment. If you're not going to Jannah, you're going to Jahannam. Now, bring it back to this issue. I said dua. One dua can change a person's destiny of Akhirah. Now imagine like this. A lot of people on the Day of Judgment will go to Jahannam because of just a few sins. Right? Okay. That they don't even remember. Now let me finish the sentence. I'll say it again, but I will finish it. A lot of people will go on the Day of Judgment, a lot of people will go to Jahannam just for a few sins that could easily have gotten forgiven had they but made one sincere dua. So what does it mean? Why are they going to Jahannam? Because they failed to make one sincere, heartfelt dua in their life for the tawbah and forgiveness of those sins. That's why they're going to Jahannam. Had they made that one sincere, heartfelt dua, they would have gone to Jannah. Now you understand that one dua contained one's takbir. You must reflect on the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and understand them. It's not enough to just know these hadith and translation, and you don't go deep in understanding, and you don't get feeling, and you don't do any applying of it to your life. Allahu Akbar. So we should think, up till now in our life, how many such duas have I missed? How many opportunities of dua did I miss? How many chances of dua that I missed? There may be any one of them. Okay, let's say you say, we can say even, that's one out of a million chance, right? No problem, you make a million dua. You make a million dua in this lifetime. You make 10,000 duas in this lifetime. What else have we been given this life on earth for? Life has no purpose, no value, no meaning other than the worship and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else is just fluff. قُلْ مَتَعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ. Proclaim to them, beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the dunya and its entire contents, all of the material possessions and existences, all wujud, everything that exists in the dunya, all the stuff of the dunya is qaleel, it's just a drop. It's just a drop. This is a very powerful thing about dua. And when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next point about dua, we should have yaqeen, absolute, unshakable faith and certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing my dua, Allah ta'ala is granting my dua. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ghafir, Surah 40, verse 60, وَقَالَ رَبَّكُمْ أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allahu Akbar. And your Rabb says, أُدْعُونِي, make dua to me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I will certainly deeply answer your du'as. Allahu Akbar Kabira. How much more yakin could we want? It's straight, direct sentence. Sometimes you should even recite this few words from Quran before you make du'a to increase the feeling of yakin in your heart. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And then you make your du'a. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Surah Naml, Surah 27, verse 62. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Then who is that being who listens and grants and replies to the مُضْطَر, and I will translate it for that in a moment, the مُضْطَر, as soon as, immediately, whenever that مُضْطَر makes dua to them. So it's a rhetorical question, the answer is Allah ta'ala. You need this I means that Allah ta'ala alone is that being who answers the call of the caller, grants the prayer of the prayer, who is a muddar anytime, every time, immediately, whenever they make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is a muddar? Muddar is somebody with iftirar. Iftirar means that they're in straitened circumstances, dire circumstances. They're in a state of worry, difficulty, anxiety. In a simple way, it means, number one, that they're hopeless. Or they're helpless. The hopeless and helpless. Hopeless and helpless and powerless. The hopeless and helpless and powerless. She has no ability. She has no means. That person is called Mudtar. Remember I told you before, you have means, you can fix your shalish, you still make dua. This is a different type of person. Mudar has no means, no ability, hopeless, helpless, powerless. Allah Ta'ala answers the dua. Quran Al-Karim, Allah Ta'ala answers the dua of such a person the moment they make it, whenever they make it. Second meaning of mudar has been used in Arabic for financial. It means what you would call in English the destitute. It's extremely poor, extremely needy. So their duas are also answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever and immediate. And third meaning of mudar is what is called mazloom. And there's a separate hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using this word mazloom. We'll do for you shortly. Mazloom means somebody who is oppressed and injustice has been done to them. Maybe she's divorcee and unjustly divorced. Maybe she's refugee and she's been unjustly made homeless. You understand? Mazloom. Mazloom. Allah Ta'ala immediately accepts such a person's duas. Maybe society did zulm on her. But these are the ways that a person's duas are accepted by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Then there's another way that you can take this concept of zulm. So the Mashaikh, they mentioned that another way that you can take the word mazloom is somebody who is a sinner. And how is a sinner mazloom? When the same, in the sense, the sinner is zalim and mazloom both at the same time. They're both zalim and mazloom. Zalim, they wrong their own self. Mazloom, their self was wronged. They did an injustice to their iman. They did an injustice to their ruh. They did an injustice to their qalb. They hurt their own heart by committing a sin. Now when it's time to make tawbah, they're making tawbah from their heart. So that heart which is mazloom, which has been oppressed by the nafs, can also turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hope that their dua, heartfelt dua, will be accepted immediately. Allahu Akbar. So it means you can talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like this when you make dua. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beloved Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the dua of the mazloom is accepted. Oh Allah, you yourself said in Quran that the dua of the muzdar is accepted. Ya Rabbi Kareem, I've become muzdar, I'm in halat iztirab, I'm hopeless and helpless. Why? Because I'm mazloom of my nafs. My nafs has overpowered me. My nafs is controlling me. I'm caught in some affliction. I'm stuck in some addiction. I'm mazloom. I'm muzdar. And Ya Allah, please accept my dua and take me out of this dilemma. Take me out of this sin. Take me out of this addiction. Take me out of this affliction. Take me out of this heartache. Take me out of this loneliness. These are the du'as you should make for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also a type of itiraf. This is also a type of sidq, to be honest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about our weaknesses. To open up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about our flaws. All of this is called itiraf. If you remember, this is the first word that we mentioned to you. First word in the ayah. First feeling in the ayah that we recited to you. Alright. Then no, another way you can make dua, there's so many ayahs in Quran al-Kareem that you can just take them and use it to launch yourself in dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Quran al-Kareem, Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila an-nur. That Allah Ta'ala is the wali. Allah Ta'ala is the guardian, friend, benefactor of alladhina amanu, those who profess iman. And Allah Ta'ala being their wali means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila an-nur, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would take all those alladhina amanu, professed believers, out from the darknesses of their sins and depressions and loneliness ila an-nur, into the nur of his light, into the nur of taqwa, into the nur of hidayah, into the nur of haya, into the nur of deen. So you can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ya Allah, you are my wali, take me out of all of the oppressions and darknesses of sin and bring me into the nur of your love and your worship and obedience. This is another way to make dua, using different ayat of Quran al-Kareem, different verses in Quran al-Kareem. Another way to make dua is to use dua using the Asma al-Husna, the different names of Allahu Rabbil Kareem. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, Lillahi al-Asma al-Husna, فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا, that to Allah Ta'ala belong the infinitely beautiful names. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala, call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using those names. So many ways to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's shocking how few of them we do and how few of the time we do it. how few of them, those du'as we do, and how few of the time we do it. So much so that du'a can also be simply understood as a turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when it comes to the unbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself turns his mercy towards them and calls them in Quran, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma ghalraka bi rabbika al-kareem, that, oh humanity, what in the world is it? What could possibly in all of creation there be that has caused you to fall into delusion about your kind, loving, gentle, doting Rabb? Allahu Akbar. So who is it? In other words, let me express it another way. Who is this unbeliever? The person who never calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person never calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person never calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala himself calls out to them in Quran. So now I want you to think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose sifat and attribute is such that he himself, Allah ta'ala himself, calls out to those humans who are atheists and don't believe in him, then imagine how much Allah ta'ala will reach out and extend his mercy and love to those believers who themselves call out and turn to him in du'a. Allahu Akbar Kabira. But still, we don't make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very lax in our du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mashallah, this is why you would have come, because you wanted to learn how to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wanted to learn how to reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wanted to learn how to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something to be learned. This is also teaching a deen, training a deen. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is called tarbiyah, this is called tazkiyah, this is called education, upbringing, spiritual purification, spiritual training. And if you look in Quran al-Kareem, in the different du'as of the Anbiya wa Mursaleen alayhi as-salam ajma'in, and even the du'as of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that very often those du'as begin with the word Rabb, Rabb, Rabbana, Rabbi, 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 Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana. This is also something that Mashaykh mentioned, that when you yourself also make du'a, you should use the word Rabb. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when his believers call upon him and invoke his sifat al-ububiyyah, that they invoke him being their Rabb. Just like the mother loves it when the child calls her mom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it when the Abb calls him Rabb. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Alright? And you will see that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided us towards. That we use the word Rabb in our ibadat, and we use the word Rabb in our deen. So it's very important that we become a person of du'a. That we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we make more and more du'a, and we have absolute yakin in our heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that du'a. That's one more thing I will tell you then for today, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does always accept a person's du'a, but there might be different ways that that is done. The first way, obviously, is that Allah ta'ala accepts that du'a exactly the way, and it grants us exactly what we ask Him. Second, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'a by granting us something else, some other bounty, some other blessing, you need something other than that which we specifically asked Him. Third, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of granting us something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away a calamity or difficulty that was going to befall us in the future. And the last way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'a is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a beautiful thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts that du'a how? Not by granting anything whatsoever in the world, not even by staving off or removing any calamity or difficulty in the world, just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of judgment, will give a person reward, ajr, thawab, good deeds to add to their scale on the mizan when they're being examined and judged about whether they will go to Jannah or Jahannam. And when the believer sees that, that all the du'as I made in my lifetime which went unanswered in any way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I'm receiving the answer in this form, that I get good deeds on the scales on the Day of Judgment to tip that scale in my favor, the believer will become so happy, that they will actually wish that I wish none of my du'as were accepted, and instead all of them I just got good deeds on this day. What does that mean? Now, like I told you, understand the hadith, go deeper. It means that, what does it mean? I wish none of my du'as were accepted. It means even those du'as that were accepted, I wish that they had not been accepted, and instead I would get good deeds on this day. So just imagine some du'as, that any du'a that you made in your life, everybody will have one or few du'as like this, that you really needed that du'a, you made that du'a, you begged Allah Ta'ala, and He granted it exactly what you wanted. He made it happen. Maybe you made du'a for 10 years, you could have children, and finally you had children. On the Day of Judgment, you will wish that Allah Ta'ala never ever accepted your du'a to have children, and instead He gave you good deeds on the scale in place of those children. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Somebody's stuck in jail, and they make du'a to Allah Ta'ala, and they're innocent, and they make du'a to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, let me out, let me be proven innocent. And it happens like that. On the Day of Judgment, they will wish that that du'a had never been accepted, and instead, they got good deeds on the Day of Judgment. Can you then imagine what type of good deeds, and what amount of good deeds, and how much the scales will tip, that a person would regret that any and every of their du'a, they would regret any and every du'a having been accepted in this world, and they rather would have wanted that any and every du'a was accepted in this way, that Allah Ta'ala gave them more good deeds on the scales on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So then, now can you think that how many du'as we should make? How many du'as we should make? So, I'm going to end by teaching you one ayah and one du'a. And this now I'm going to tell a new du'a, first time on the trip. And ayah to khair is ayah of Qur'an al-Kareem. The ayah of Qur'an al-Kareem is what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Qur'an, Inna Rabbi lasami'u du'a. That indeed my Rabb is certainly intently listening to du'a. So this is an ayah that you Surah Ibrahim, Surah 14, verse 39, that you should remember and use. And I gave you some other ayat in Quran here earlier as well, that either you recite it when you make du'a, or you at least call it to mind and remember it when you make du'a, so that way you will have even more yaqeen when you make du'a. And you will feel like that. Allah Ta'ala is hearing my du'a, granting my du'a, Allah SWT is going to accept my du'a. And then inshallah you will make du'a in an even more heartfelt way. Alright? Okay. Now a du'a. Last thing for today, then a du'a from the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is a du'a that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala and Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala both have narrated in their Sahih Hadith collection. It's a du'a that, the first amazing thing is a du'a that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself made. And you should just think like this, that number one, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it, how could I not make it? If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it, how could I not make it? Okay, what is that du'a? Allahumma inni attakhidhu indaka ahdan lan tukhlifani. That, O Allah, I took a pledge with you. I took a pledge with you that I know that you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never, ever, ever violate that pledge. Alright? So what does that mean? That's how I pledge myself, إِيَّاكَ نَعْمَدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. I pledge myself, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. I pledge myself as your believer. And I got you as my Rabb. And I know that you will never, ever, ever go back on the things that you said in Quran or the Prophet told me about you. That you will be as you described yourself in Quran, and you will be as my Prophet described you to be. You will treat me exactly the way you have told me in Quran that you will treat me. You will judge me on the Day of Judgment exactly the way you have told me in Quran that you will judge me. So you, I took a pledge to be your abd, your servant and slave, and I know that you will never, ever, ever go back or violate that covenant, that pact. However, فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ, but me, I am just a mere mortal. I am but a human being. فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ, but me, my reality is I am a mortal human being creature. Now what does it mean? What the Prophet was saying is that I will end up violating my pact with you. You will definitely be the Rabb with me as you have said that you would be. I am not going to be the Abd with you that I pledged I would be. Why? فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ, because I'm just merely a mortal human being. Therefore, now I'll just tell you the topic before I recite the Arabic and translate for you. The dua here is that I made a pledge to Allah Ta'ala that I would not hurt any other person, but because I'm only human, I will inevitably hurt someone. So, فَأَيَّمَا مُؤْمِنٍ أَذَيْتُهُ أَوْ شَتَمْتُهُ أَوْ جَلَّدْتُهُ أَوْ لَعَنَتُهُ لَعَنْتُهُ فَاجْأَلْهَا لَهُ صَلَاةً وَزَكَاةً وَقُرْبَةً تُقَرِّبُهُ بِهَا إِلَيْكَ. So therefore Allah Ta'ala, any mu'min, any mu'mina, any believer who أَذَيْتُهُ, I ever harm them, أَوْ شَتَمْتُهُ, I ever abuse them, curse them, verbally accosted them, verbally hurt them, أَوْ جَلَدْتُهُ, or even I physically accosted them, beat them, hit them, whatever, anyone I harmed or hurt, anyone I verbally abused, accosted, anyone I physically abused or accosted, oh, la'antuhu, anybody I cursed, faj'alha lahu salatan wa zakatan wa qurbatan, make that act of mine instead for them a salah, a prayer, a mercy, a blessing. Make it instead for them a zakat, a purification. Make it instead for them a qurba, a means of your intimate nearness. تُقَرِّبُهُ بِهَا إِلَيْكَ, that they draw intimately near to you by means of that. Allahu Akbar Kabira. I mean, this is the ultimate dua for hukukul ibad. And the bosses, and now obviously, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never did this to anybody. He never harmed anybody, he never verbally accosted anybody, he never physically violently accosted anybody, he never cursed anybody. But this is Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. These are his du'as. So even if you just make this one, two sentence du'a, two-liner du'a, every day, maybe at night before you sleep, to remove any of the sins that come on our heart because of anybody we may have hurt from creation, then Allah Sponsor will accept. Maybe that's all we have to do, is make this du'a once with a true heartfelt feeling, and Allah Ta'ala would forgive us for all the times we did those things and hurt people, and then we wouldn't have to go to Jahannam. And maybe because we failed to make this dua, on the day of judgment we will show up and we will have to account for all the people that we did hurt, all the people maybe we verbally accosted, Allahu Alam, maybe people we physically accosted, maybe people we cursed, or we became a living curse for them, or we made their life a horror. La'na doesn't just mean that you, like profanity. La'na means you become a horror for that person. You can make their life a nightmare. That's also a la'na, because you're like a curse in their life. You become a curse in their life. Alright? Allahu Akbar. So to make this dua, and just think how humble and how fearful Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was to make a dua using words, very strong words, to use words like that. So we should learn the sunnah. So I'll give you an example of this treasure of sunnah du'as that we're unaware of, because we just have been ungrateful and unappreciative of how much guidance Sayyidina Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us. So we should make a lot of du'a to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We should make niyyah. And so what you understood from today also is these are things that we have to learn. These are things that are taught. This is a training that is given. And the name of that learning and teaching and training, that is called tazkiyah, later called the tasawwuf. This is just a teaching of deen, a branch of deen. And the way you learn this is, number one, like today, you attend Bayan, you listen to the Bayans on the website, you get the recordings of the Bayan on the strip, you listen to Majlis, you listen to these talks, but you must listen with a heart. You must listen with niyyah to practice and to amal. You must listen with an intent to change your very self. That's why a person comes to Bayan. You don't come to Bayan and want to hear something new. You come to Bayan and want to become something new. This is called tabiyya, and this is one of the big things that's lacking in our deen. So this is something I want you to make niyyah of today, that you want to pursue, however you want to do it, but you want to pursue your tarbiyya. Second is ta'leem, that you need the basic knowledge to do so. You need to know these verses that we recited. You need to know the hadith that we recited. You need to know the du'as that we told you. Basic knowledge of deen is missing. Sorely missing, huge gaps in our basic knowledge of deen. So that's called ilm, knowledge of deen, ilm. So you should try and learn your deen. And again, there are many ways to do that. There are many local alimats, local classes, durus. Those of you who have met my wife, you know, she teaches online, the Zenith Academy online. You can enroll in that if you're an online type of person, right? Or you can try to become one. At least you can learn from the comfort of your own home with a flexible time. However you do it, you must get ilm. Third is you should make some zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. So I will tell you some zikr of God that you can do to help you to remember Allah ta'ala, to make you more mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make your heart more attracted towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give yourself more willpower to make this amal salih. So number one, every day you should recite from the adhkar. Number one, every day you should recite Quran al-Kareem. Number two, you should seek Allah's forgiveness, istighfar, every single day. Number three, you should recite salutations, blessings, salatu salam on the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day. Number four, you should make du'as every day. That's what we told you about in the home bayan. Du'as from the Quran, du'as from the Sunnah, du'as from your own language with the own meaning, expressing the feeling of your heart. Number five, you should make some zikr lisani, means some zikr from the tongue every day. Such as saying one tasbih of la ilaha illallah, or saying the tasbih of subhanallah wa hamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa allahu akbar. Number six, you should make zikr kalbi. You should make zikr of Allah Ta'ala's name from your heart silently. 100 times a day, 200 times a day, 300 times a day. You simply close your eyes and make intention that your kalb, your spiritual heart, is repeating Allah's name. Allah, Allah, Allah. And your tongue isn't saying anything, but you make niyyah as you move the beads or as you use the counter, that your qalb is reciting and repeating Allah Ta'ala's name. Allah Ta'ala's name. Then, you should try to pray some extra prayers, even just two rakats extra a day. Try to do some extra fast, even just one, two, three extra fasts a month. And those of you practice, you can practice this and listen to Bayan. Those of you who want to learn more, be more connected or be more formally trained, then you can plug into the programs and you can join the different gatherings that the women hold. We have our students in Durban, they hold a gathering every Tuesday. You can partake of that. There are different classes locally, online, you can partake of that. If you want to be formally tutored on the path of zikr and purification, you can make that niyyah and express that through an email or letter. But you must reach out, you must try, you must carve out a path, you must try to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was our message generally, and specifically today the topic was on dua. So inshallah we end today's talk by making dua. سبحان ربنا وبحمده اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين يا الله يا رب الكريم forgive us for all the times we forgot to make dua. Forgive us for all the opportunities that we missed in dua. Let it become make dua our passion, make dua our character, make dua our personality. Let it become we want to make dua to you in the day, make dua to you at night, make dua to you after every prayer, make dua to you in times of ease, to make dua to you in times of hardship. Let it become grant us tawfiq, ya Rabb. Send upon us your fazl and karam, ya Rabb. Grant us hidayah, ya Rabb Kareem, to always make dua to you, to always remember you. Ya Allah, forgive us for all the times that we missed. forgive us for all the prayers that we skipped. Let it become from now on, Ya Rabb, let us fill the gaps in our life, and let us fill those gaps with deen, fill those gaps with ibadah, fill those gaps with zikr. Let it become, we make special dua for all the women who came or are listening. Make them from your zakirat mu'minat, make them from your salihat mu'minat. Let it become, ease their worries, ease their difficulties, remove their worries, ease their hardships. Let it become, we ask that you put barakah in our homes, barakah in our marriages, barakah with our children, barakah in our time, barakah in our health, barakah in our ibadat. Let every single ibadah and every single amal of deen change our heart once and for all. Connect our hearts to you. Fill our hearts with your love. Fill our hearts with your fear. Take out the love for the world from our heart. Take out every unlawful romantic love from our heart. Make us true mu'mineen. Make us pure mu'mineen. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Rabbana takambal minna innaka anta السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُوبُ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى حَبِيبِهِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.